Good morning. It's great to see you. Would you stand with me, please? And I want to read to you this morning from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you have loved us, cared for us. I thank you for your presence in our lives and in this place. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be pleased with our worship this morning, Lord. I pray that you would open our hearts to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you'd be glorified in all that is said and done. In your blessed name we pray. Amen. 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 If you have your scriptures, turn to Psalm 5. Psalm 5, and I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Psalm 5, starting at verse 1. David writes, "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait expectantly." I wait expectantly. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you hear us when we pray. Thank you that you're a merciful, a gracious, a loving God, compassionate, slow to anger. Lord, I pray that you would bless this time. I pray that you would anoint. I pray that you'd be glorified, that you'd open our ears to hear. We give these things into your hands, Lord. We've been discussing the different qualities, the characteristics which Scripture describes as being instrumental in positioning ourselves to experience the hand of God in our lives. Understanding that there is never a guarantee as to the specific manner in which God will respond. For God is God and we are not. There is never a special or a specific guarantee as to the exact manner in which God will respond. But we know from His Word that God hears us when we pray. We know from His Word that the one who humbles himself before God, that God has promised to raise him up in due time. Praise God. We have looked at Mary, who in extraordinary ways experienced the hand of God as she humbled herself before him. But he blessed her and dealt with her in a unique way. In a way that, no one else has given birth to the Son of God. We also know from Scripture that God blesses the obedient as Noah was blessed. As he obeyed God and built the ark, and he and his family were saved from that great flood. That's one of the reasons I wanted to sing, "Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way." As Noah, to be obedient to him. It positions us to see God work the impossible in our lives. We have talked about the four men who experienced the compassion of Christ. As they brought their friend, the paralytic, in on a stretcher and they couldn't get in, so they ripped the roof off and lowered him down. And God in compassion, Jesus in compassion, forgave the man of his sins and then healed him. It was in that order. He forgave him and then he healed him. God does promise that you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. We do know that God honored not only Daniel, but Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, as they purposed in their hearts not to defile themselves. They purposed in their hearts to be pure before God. Now this morning, we want to add to these a fifth quality, which will serve to position us before God to see Him, to see the hand of God as we become people of earnest prayer. I'm not speaking of flippant prayer. I have the practice of saying grace before a mealtime. Sometimes those prayers can become rote. They can be casual. At least we're praying and blessing the food. If you were to know how I cook, it's very appropriate that Jennifer would bless the food. Lord, this food needs help. Amen. Amen. However, even in that, although it may be a rote, although it ought not be flippant, I heard a preacher once, when blessing the church picnic, proclaim, "Lord, bless this bunch as they crunch this lunch." A tad bit flippant. The people laughed. That is kind of funny. I don't know that God was impressed. Romans 8:26 speaks of a prayer that is so fervent, a prayer that rises from so deep in our souls that we lack the words. We don't know how to express. Romans 8 indicates that it is in those times that the Spirit prays through us and for us, interceding for us, because we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to pray. So the Holy Spirit, who is in residence, praise, Lord, what the heart is feeling, the burden actually is this. And on this day, you do realize today is the day of Pentecost. I encourage each of you to not only be filled with the Spirit, but to pray in the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you and in you, to intercede on your behalf. What a blessing it is to have Him with us and in us. However, yet God has given us the gift of speech. He gives us a gift of speech for a reason. One of the reasons, one of the primary reasons He has given us the gift of speech is so that we can pray. To pray in the Spirit, yes, but to pray with understanding. Yes. So that we can communicate with Him. The word is associated with commune. Commune meaning to fellowship or to have deep relationship. He wants us to be close to Him. He desires a relationship with us. And a great part of that relationship is communication. Jennifer and I, as we have developed our relationship, we have talked much. We talk about anything. We talk about everything. Because that communication is key to developing a relationship. If we were to never talk to each other, our relationship with one another would shrivel. It would wither. Same way with you and your spouse, or with you and your children, or with you and your parents. And it's the same with you and your God. That relationship with God is founded, it's based on communication, fellowship, prayer. He wants that communication. He desires, He yearns for it because He knows how important it is in drawing us into a relationship with Him. Psalm 5:3 expresses that when we pray, God will hear. God always hears us when we pray. Stop and consider that. How glorious is that? We often take for granted that when we pray, God hears us. Sometimes we question the reality of it. Sometimes our feelings betray us. And as we pray, we feel like it's just bouncing off the ceiling, that it's not going anywhere, that it's our feelings can betray us, but it's those feelings are not right, for He hears us. The reality of it is He hears us when we pray. The truth is, as we pray, God hears us. He's as close as the mention of His name, a whisper. And He hears. I believe I am guilty. I know I am guilty. For I have heard Jennifer say, "Are you going to answer me or not?" She has been talking, but for whatever reason, either I am not listening or anybody here have selective deafness? Yeah. Are you going to answer me? Sometimes we fail to listen to each other. If I'm wise, I say, I'm sorry. Now, what were you saying? But you can be sure of this. When you pray, God hears you the first time. His ear is ever bent toward us. And we're not talking into the air. We're not just going through a futile exercise. We are talking to Almighty God. What a privilege to take our concerns, our needs, our praises, our whatever it is, to God. Almighty God, the Creator God. I enjoy, Jennifer and I have the practice at the end of the day. She tells me about her day, the ins and outs, what's gone on, this and that. I tell her about my day, the ins and outs, what's going on, this and that. Much of it is trivial. You know, we should bother God with those trivial things as well. He wants to hear about it. He wants to hear us. He wants the relationship with us. We're not wasting time. We're speaking with the Creator of all that is. He is our Creator, but yet He wants us to tell. You say, "Well, He already knows everything that happened." Yes, He does. But He still wants us. He still wants us. There are times, I hate to tell you this, that I'm growing old enough that I tell Jennifer stories that I've told her a dozen times. She's wise enough to say, "Yes, yes, 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 yes." She listens to it all over again. Why? Because she enjoys the fellowship. God will never say to you, "You know, I heard you the first time, or the second time, or the 10th time, or the 20th time." Because He desires relationship, fellowship with you. It is also not as if we're writing a letter to Santa Claus. This is not a letter to Santa Claus. We are resting in the one who left the splendor of heaven, who lived as one of us. He died that we might have our salvation. He secured our healing and our deliverance, our provision, our protection, our comfort, our joy. Untold benefits are available through Him. Now, some call me, I appreciate your calls, and you say, "Pastor, I have a problem," and very rarely, sometimes, you need a ride, and I can give you a ride, but you have a problem that is bigger than I don't have a solution per se, except to say, "You know what? Let's pray. Let's pray. I don't have the solution in me, but I do know one who does." So we cry out to Him, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Consider the reality of this. He who created all yearns to hear from you. He wants a relationship with you. Jesus died for you. He who created ears, what a great thing they are. I like playing with them. He who created ears hears you when you pray. Thus Jesus states in Luke 11, if you will ask, won't your heavenly Father hear from heaven? Doesn't he hear you? Yes. He hears us. Now we must be sure of this. Make no mistake. Our prayers, your prayers, by virtue of themselves, do not have power. However, prayer expressed in faith in our Heavenly Father has great power, not because of us, but because of Him. In fact, our prayers through faith in Jesus Christ can move mountains. Not by virtue of us, but by virtue of who He is. Yet we cannot see our prayers as giving God instruction. Who are we to give God instruction? Who dares to darken the counsel of God? You know, He's not a servant. He's not a waiter standing at your table. May I take your order, please? That's not who God is. We are His servant. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is not, as it were, a genie in a bottle. I'll grant you three wishes. God is not a genie. He's God. He's the creator of all that is. He is our Heavenly Father, and He does promise, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. In other words, pray. And when you pray, He will hear, and He does say that the prayers of a righteous man are effective. Praise God. Jesus did promise that as we prayed, we would see the miraculous occur. The lame walk, the blind see, those in bondage would be delivered, the dead would rise. We have evidence of those things, not to our glory, but to His, for the work is not ours, the glory, the work is His. He is the healer, He is the Savior. He is the deliverer. He is life. Several years ago, there was a knock on the door, and it was a lady. She says, would you please come pray for my mother? I said, what's going on? Is she sick? What's happening? He says, she is on life support. And apparently she's run out of resource because they have decided they're going to unplug her. Even though she was conscious, she could sit up, she could talk. But they were going to unplug her. And she had the faith to believe that if I came and prayed for her, that God would raise her up. And so I did. I went and prayed with her. And the following day, I went back. They gave her 24 hours, and so I prayed with her. We believed. We rejoiced, for He is life. Next day, I went back because they were going to unplug her. And they came in, and they really didn't do a whole lot of ceremony. They just came in and pulled the plug. A few days later, she went home. Not heaven. She went home. God raised her up. God brought her back. Doctor stood there. But in God, with God, all things are possible. If we will humble ourselves, if we'll be obedient to Him, if we'll stand up in faith, if we'll purpose in our hearts to be pure before Him, if we'll pray, we are positioning ourselves to see the miraculous happen. However, the greatest blessing from God is not her raising up like that. The greatest benefit of prayer is that prayer draws us closer to God. The greatest blessing of prayer is that it draws us closer into a relationship with God. The truth of the matter is that often we are too attached to the things of this world, and so we become entangled with this concern or that concern, and it distracts us, where in reality we're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, I have this need. Focus your eyes on Him. We come to God and we pray and we wring our hands and we worry, and Lord, what are we ever going to do? The truth is that the greatest aspect of our lives is knowing God. Is knowing God. It's knowing God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Everything else is detail. Everything else will come and go, but God is consistent. God is eternal. God is forever. I want to know Him. These things are details. God's word is true, and if God be for us, who can stand against us? What can stand against us? But the first thing is to be with God. Without Him, I'm sorry, folks, we got nothing. Without Him. But I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I am convinced that as I snuggle up to God in prayer, I have seen in my own life, and I think you find too, as I snuggle up to God in prayer and as I build that relationship with Him, everything else in life shrinks into perspective. It is all dwarfed into size in comparison to the knowledge and the understanding and the relationship we have with Him. So does this mean we shouldn't pray? Well, absolutely, we should pray about all things. Things that burden us, things that we rejoice in, things that we are thankful for. Prayer in all things. In Psalm 55, we find that David not only prayed about all things, he prayed at all times. It's what caused David to be special in the Scriptures. He was a man of prayer. It wasn't just in the morning, it was just at night. Know this morning, God desires a constant relationship, a constant fellowship with you. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in and will fellowship, commune, because He desires that relationship with us. If we will humble ourselves before God, and we will add to that humility obedience, and we will add to that obedience faith, and to that faith, if we'll add purity, and to all these things, if we will learn to be praying people, we then are positioning ourselves to see the hand of God move in our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I just thank you this morning.